Wrap, which is basically where I have a couple of friends come in studio and we hang out and talk about the news of the week. And it's just a little bit of a more open format rather than an interview, which you hear a lot on, obviously, the Pensacola Morning News. Joining me in studio right now, I've got Walker Wilson, the executive director of the Downtown Improvement Board and maker of Bikes for Children.
Yeah,
is that a fair way to describe it? All right, fair enough.
Fair enough.
An occasional candidate for public office in the past. I won't ask you for the future. You make these decisions as we go. And Drew Buchanan, also former candidate for public office and now small business owner and local advocate for a variety of things. Drew Walker, welcome to the Pensacola Morning News, The Wrap.
Thanks, Andrew.
Thanks for having us on.
So people might find this surprising. I don't do a deliberate, like, I'm going to have these people on because we have these topics to talk about. You know, I just kind of, but sometimes you get lucky.
Right.
You know, sometimes the stuff of the week winds up being relevant. This week, one of the big topics suddenly, and really for the last 2 weeks, has been the food trucks downtown. Something that I know both of you are passionate about, have, obviously, you're the DIB, you know, Walker, you have direct involvement in all of this. I talked to Jared Moore this morning about what they decided last night. It's still as clear as the Blackwater River to me what actually happened last night. I feel like we're moving in the right direction. What do you guys think?
Sure. Well, I would just say, in my perspective, probably a little bit more from a business owner side, is that, you know, we've been moving in the right direction for the past 7 years, 6 years. I think when this issue last came up was several years ago. So I think going forward, we're making good steps. The city council is obviously trying to be not reactive, even though we are trying to be more conducive to helping the small business community. I wish there'd be a little bit more leeway in how they enforce these things. You know, we have a lot of laws on the books in downtown Pensacola, or Pensacola in general, that we don't enforce. Like,
right.
Skateboarding is technically still illegal. Open container laws. Why now are we selectively enforcing a law when we haven't in the past 7 years?
Yeah, and by the way, I think your mic was off for the beginning, but you were saying that we've moved in the right direction for the last 7 years, that we're getting there bit by bit, which I concur with. I've been here seven years, and I've seen us moving a little bit at a time, or in the case of the hiatus of enforcement, we just kind of were there and now, you know, trying to wrestle with the fact that our practice and our laws don't exactly match. Walker?
Yeah, I think to Drew's point, it seems like maybe we had kind of figured it out, or at least it was headed in the right direction. And I think the fear, though, is from some folks downtown that see this as an issue, especially around Seville Quarter and the Jordan Valley area, is, you know, they're not having the same experience with food trucks as, say, Odd Colony or Perfect Plain mm-hmm. has been having. And so how do you kind of mitigate those two viewpoints? And so I think, again, you know, it is kind of unclear exactly what happened last night. And I think even maybe for some of the city council members, it's a little unclear as to what happened. And they've got some work ahead of them, but I have, you know, maybe optimistically, I have faith in them that they're going to get this solved, because I think Jared put it very well. This is the first time we've seen an issue where everybody's on the same side. It's now, how do we get across the finish line with it?
Yeah.
And so I think they're working towards that. And I, you know, I want to give a lot of credit to Casey Jones for the work that he's put into this over the past week and a half. You know, no one really heard a lot about Casey Jones. He ran in a race that Drew and I probably wish that we could have run in as well,
right,
with no opposition.
Right?
And so we're really getting to start to see, you know, him get to work and the things that he's doing. And he's on the DIB board as the city's representative, and he does a tremendous job helping us kind of figure out some issues that we have with the city from time to time. But I think they'll get there. I think, unfortunately for food trucks, as of it stands today, I don't know that anything actually changed from how it was yesterday. But I think it's just going to be hanging in there. And I know it's been a tough year with the pandemic and everything, but just hang in there, and I think they're going to get this right.
Yeah, I hope so too, and I agree with you. And it's kind of interesting to watch the new council members, you know, Tenia Day and Casey, and you know, Jen has had no problem speaking up and getting involved.
She, no,
it
right.
took her no time to find her
yes.
stride. But you know, and Delarian, same thing. They kind of, yeah, I understand that you're new in the job. You don't want to do something dumb in public view, you know. So you kind of a little bit tentative. But like you say, they're working and they're getting there, and I think they're starting to come around in terms of being able to speak up and take action. And I do like that he's, you know, making work on this. It's a little weird to me because it's not his district, right? Not primarily. I mean, it's really Ann's district, but
correct.
Still, you know, it's good to see somebody doing the work. And, you know, one of the things that it seems like we're bumping up against on this is it's not just the traditional food truck. It's people who, at least around Seville, apparently are like, just, hey, I'm going to take my tent and my smoker, and I'm going to go down there and sell me some meat.
Right.
You know, it's not, that's not really allowed.
Yeah.
I mean, there are rules for the public sale of consumable items, right? I mean, that's...
Right. I mean, it's not 1920s Pensacola. It's 2020s Pensacola, right. So it's not the Wild West. You have to at least have some common basic ground rules. You know, if you have a food cart, you have to legally have a commissary, and your food has to be inspected. You can't just take it out of your car and sell it. This isn't a tailgating at a football game.
Oh, but that does sound like fun.
Sound like fun. But you
sign me up.
You know, that could be the new initiative. Instead of food trucks, we'll just open up that section of Palafox by the square, and we'll just let everybody park there, front in, open their trunks, sell whatever they want to sell.
Yeah.
Let's do it the
let's
one
go.
Time. Let's,
right.
Trunk or treat with food. Best of luck.
I think the term, and I don't know if it was the best one, but Mayor Robinson said bad actors. I don't know if I'd go that far, but you just have folks that either are ignorant of the rules or are just totally bypassing them. So that has to be dealt with. It's unfortunate it's come up to a larger scale to affect almost all of the food trucks.
And it's a weird thing, too, because on the one hand, I think, Walker, you kind of hinted at it, there are some places where they're super excited to have a food truck on the location because they're a bar. I think of Gulf Coast Brewery for a long time, you know, having food truck out back kind of thing, and it's beneficial to everybody to have the both of them working together. And there's other places where it is a bar restaurant and they most decidedly do not want the competition on their front porch, or even they're not a restaurant but they don't want the consequences of having a food truck on their front porch. So it's, I don't know.
Yeah,
the public wants it. Maybe the public doesn't always think about the implications.
And I think the other thing is, you know, to Seville's point, and I sat down with Buck Mitchell yesterday to talk about some of this. He's like, the hoops I had to jump through just to have a sign that said the district outside of a $3 million investment we made to put in a nice restaurant in downtown Pensacola was ridiculous. And then, you know, somebody can drive down here from wherever they're living and set up a tent with a table and sell hot dogs out here with really no issue. And I think that, you know, that would be aggravating. And so, again, the city council is working on it. And unfortunately, city government and any government takes a while to get things done. And maybe for the best sometimes, but I think this is a good chance for us to all look in the mirror and get this thing right once and for all.
And it definitely is a, oh my God, how did we get here to have two copies of the same law in two different places, one of which was the Land Development Code, so the council can't undo that. It's got to go to the planning board. I mean, it's, sometimes the minutiae of government red tape is... it's embarrassing.
Right, especially when you're working with small business owners that are like, if it's broken, let's fix it, and let's fix it tomorrow.
Right. People who adapt quickly. We've got Drew Buchanan in studio with me, Walker Wilson as well. Drew, this is, again, a topic that for both of you, very close to your wheelhouse, but you actually operate the Bird Scooter franchise here in town. Walker, I know you've been very involved in the project of bringing the scooters to the test phase that we've got them in right now. By my accounts, based on the number of complaints I'm not hearing from people, this seems to be working really well. What's your take?
Sure. So this has been an ongoing development for probably the past 2 years.
Yeah.
The city council passed a scooter, I would call it a micro mobility ordinance because it's not just for scooters, in 2020, very early, then the pandemic happened. But now things that have, well, I should say finally settled down, but things have somewhat become predictable a little bit more. We've had Bird, which is probably the largest scooter operator in the U.S., want to invest and come to Pensacola. So we manage a fleet of vehicles in the downtown market. They're supposed to be a last mile form of transportation. So if you're taking the bus, if you're driving somewhere and you have a little bit farther to go, hop on a scooter. It's a pretty affordable rate, just like a cheap Uber, and get to where you need to go. We've had minimal complaints, but they will happen, like any new venture, like food trucks, for example.
Sure.
You're gonna
It's a disruptor.
It's right. It's a disruptor. I mean, this is really disrupting the game. You know, you got bicycles more in downtown. They're interfering with the environment of the cars, right? That's not necessarily a bad thing. I think it can be good for everyone. So it's been successful. We've had tons of good comments, and we're going to figure out the things that we can improve on, whether that's having a curfew for these vehicles, ensuring that folks are 18 years or older who ride them, because you can't be a kid, unfortunately. There's liability issues. So it's baby steps, but I think it's going to be a successful venture.
All right, Walker, not to get too far away from the topic, but your thoughts on the rollout of the Bird scooters?
Oh, I love the scooters. And I think, you know, I've been getting on Bird scooters and other cities for years now, so it's exciting to see that Pensacola's got this here. And you can go from East Hill all the way over to Pace Boulevard, anywhere downtown. You know, I think you got to be responsible. You got to keep your eye open if you're driving a car or on a bird scooter. And then I think the other thing is be mindful of where you're leaving it. You know, our cleaning ladies downtown sent me a text the day they rolled out, and they're like, they're back. And I said, I know. I said, I know they're back. I said, don't worry about them unless they're just laying across the sidewalk. Then just pick it up and put it where it is. But I said, there's nothing you need to do. We don't, you know, don't let that get into your way of day-to-day operations. But I think it's a great addition to the community. I haven't really heard many complaints, except maybe is there an opportunity to put you know, a time cutoff on that, so that we maybe avoid some accidents that could happen after folks get out of Seville and grab a hot dog from the tent and then maybe want to hop on a scooter.
Right. And hot just dog to kind in of one protect hand, people from themselves. Unauthorized yeah. open container in the other, you know, free riding it down, which, by the way, Drew, you told me, and I was surprised to learn this, a good point, is that you collect them at a certain point to prevent exactly that kind of danger at night. You collect them overnight to charge them and to prevent drunk scooting, essentially, right?
So. Correct, because we do not want to have, you know, inebriated people on these. And the biggest thing Walker touched on, I just want to reiterate, is we're in the public domain here, the public space. So these sidewalks, they have to be open for folks that, well, one, are just walking day to day, right. But also for wheelchairs and handicap users. So that's a really important thing for us. We have enforcement out pretty much 24/7 on the private side. And I'm sure on the city side, they have their folks out too. So if you see one that's blocking a sidewalk, report it to the city, report it to the company, and we'll make sure to get out there.
And again, based on the lack of complaints, I'd have to say, generally speaking, it's working fairly well. 8:48 on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. I'm Andrew McKay. In studio with me is Walker Wilson and Drew Buchanan. We'll be back in just a moment on The Wrap.
Mohawk All Pet Protection and Warranty is the only carpet protection and warranty for all pets, all accidents, all the time. Because your pets are family members too. No matter how you live, they've got you covered. Soft, luxurious, smart strand, forever clean carpet. Gorgeous, durable, Solitech luxury vinyl tile. Mohawk has the ultimate floor for every room in your house that's suitable for all pets. It's time to love your floor with your entire family thanks to All Pet Protection and Warranty from Mohawk and Smith Family Carpets. Located 2 blocks north of I-10 on Pine Forest Road, Pensacola.
My family has used Air Design forever. So whenever we have a problem with heating, cooling, or plumbing, there's only one number to call.
Call 202-COOL, night or day. Air Design Systems is on the way.
For fast, dependable HVAC service with honest pricing, you know who to call. And we're available for your after-hours emergencies at no extra cost.
Call 202-COOL, night or day. Air Design Systems is on the way.
Not to spend too much time on the scooter topic, but I did get a question here that I don't know the answer to. You have to have a license. You have to be 18 in order to rent the scooter. Rules of the road apply. If you're going to use it on a street, you have to follow the rules for motor vehicles, bicycles.
So I would compare it just like you would be riding a bicycle.
Okay.
Really, in Florida, you are allowed to ride on the sidewalk, and sometimes you do actually have to because our roads are not to the point they should be.
What do you mean the roads in Florida are perfect? Stop complaining. You're so wrong. They're awesome. We love our roads.
So sometimes you do have to ride on the sidewalks, but really anything a bike is doing, the scooter should be doing too. At least in downtown Pensacola, it is a very safe and conducive environment to drive, walk, scoot slow. And that's the best way to do it because you get to enjoy everything around you.
No,
so
fair enough.
Really, we want you to avoid the rules of the road.
So one of the things I wanted to ask you about, another city council thing they did this week, we were just talking this morning with President Moore about this, that the approval for funding for the two monuments, the Chappie James Monument that's going to be, hopefully, fingers crossed, it's going to be a statue and also an F4 Phantom II. Mm-hmm. And then the other one, which is the Monument to Women Veterans. Of course, the museum is going to occupy the Amtrak station, which, by the way, is in much better caretaking condition than I've ever seen it before. When I went over there recently, I was like, oh, this is actually in really good shape, so good for that. But the monument, which is going to be mostly a flame, it's a flame coming up out of like a well of sorts, and that'll be visible even from the bridge, I think. So the city council reappropriated money from the Sanders Beach Community Center, the expansion fund there, and they decided to appropriate money for these two monuments. I always would rather see private funding. You know, I would always rather see that. I don't know that I'm all that angry about public funding for this, but thoughts, Walker?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's going to be two great monuments. So definitely excited to see them, especially with kind of some expansion. We just had another art project that got put in downtown with the paper plane statue going in. So, you know, do you want to see $250,000 go into a statue that could maybe be repurposed for something else? You know, maybe when I think the original intent of the group was for a lot of this to be private money.
Right.
So
that's for the Chappie James part, right?
For the Chappie James part, yeah. And so maybe that's a little frustrating. But I think at the end of the day, it's going to be two great assets in our downtown area and to this community. And what a great learning opportunity for not only us adults, but for kids growing up here as well.
And I think when that gets done, when the Chappie James, the statue, and the Phantom, and whatever other small amenities are there as instructional elements at the landing of the Three Mile Bridge, I mean, this is going to be the kind of thing that, you know, 10, 15 years down the road, people are going to be like, I can't even imagine Pensacola without it.
Right.
Kind of like, you know, at one point there were people who opposed the Cobra at the Veterans Memorial Park. And now you're like, how could you? That's such an amazing, you know, and that's less visible than either of these will be eventually. Right, Drew?
Right. And there's precedence for this. You know, we have the Blue Angels jet. I forget which model it is at the state line. You know, the museums, they're all mostly public funded. I do wish like the state FDOT or maybe even Skanska would have chipped in a little bit.
opportunity for Skanska to do right. Missed right, again. Yeah.
They could get some good kudos on there. But there is precedent for it. I don't know if I necessarily agree with it. The biggest thing is they need to show that they also have the private and nonprofit backing for it, which I assume they do. I'm not as privy to this as others are.
And again, I think it's going to be – they're going to be wonderful when they're done. And that's what I'm looking forward to is – I'm a believer in the public art. And, you know, look, if you build a park, you know, a community center, these are all things to serve the public interest. Beauty is a public value. I don't love a lot of money being spent publicly on art, but I don't mind some. You know, it's a fair enough expenditure that everybody benefits from. Why wouldn't everybody contribute a little bit to it, you know?
Right. I would say I do wish these projects would be a little bit more vetted. I think Parks and Rec is going to take over basically at least one of these areas. I don't think it came before their board. And maybe that's something that we need to make sure we do in the future. So that's just one note.
And one thing that we're kind of in the preliminary stages of with the DIB, and I hope I'm not speaking too early on this, but Holly.
No, please do.
Yeah, always. Holly Benson has kind of put a group together that's working on creating an art tour, if you will, of public art in downtown. So we've been asked to help out with that group, and then we have been talking kind of in the background for DIB, is there a way we can have a historic trail downtown, and can those two kind of mesh together?
I have long wished, and I don't know if I've said it very much publicly, but I've long wished we had a simple app that was a kind of historical visual treasure hunt for Pensacola, which would, you know, for example, not just monuments, museums, and things like that, but think of all the wall art that we have.
Right.
All of the cool, I mean, everything from like Pace and Cervantes, you got the Blue Angel sculpture, you got the flowers on Cervantes across from the Publix, you got the Jefferson Street Garage, you know, and those are just sort of the obvious ones, but there's all kinds of, you know, just somebody put a cool mural up and, you know, get people driving around enjoying our city a little bit. You know, even if they're from here, it could be a little, hey, checked it off, saw it. I mean, you know, I love that idea, especially if you tie it in with historical education.
Yeah, so we're excited to be working on that. And again, that group has just kind of got formulated, and but it's got some good momentum, and I think you know, we'll kind of see that coming down the pipeline here in the near future.
Very good, Walker Wilson. Breaking news, breaking pre-news. I love it. I saved the not best for last. I don't know. We have been talking a lot this morning about President Biden's announced mandate for vaccinations for federal workers, for hospital employees, for teachers on government schools, teachers. An extraordinarily expansive expression of his desire for everybody to get vaccinated. I am adamantly opposed to this. I think it is illegal and unconstitutional, but I like to have people who disagree with me. It doesn't never bothers me. In fact, I mean, I'm pro vaccine, you know, so I'm defending the right of people to be against the vaccine, which I disagree with them, but that's the point. Thoughts on his announcements last night of up to 100 million people that might be covered by these mandates?
Yeah, Drew? That's a lot of people. You know, I probably come a little bit on the more liberal side on this. And I think you really have to find some precedents in this one. It's kind of tough. You can find it with the states, and they pretty much found that's constitutional, right? I'm sure you've talked about that.
Yeah, the governors have tremendous emergency powers for policing and right. requiring things. Yeah, if a governor did this, you know, I mean, the Constitution doesn't even come into play exactly, yes. probably.
So on the federal side, that's a tough one. I'm not a constitutional scholar, but I would not envy anyone in that job right now. And the fact of the matter is, we need Americans to get some common sense. Are we to the point of mandating it? I guess we are, but that's where I'm at.
Walker, any thoughts on the mandate?
I guess we'll see how it ends up. I don't think it's going to turn out well for the president, but I think at the end of the day, you know, I'm also vaccinated, and it would encourage anybody to do it. But also think that at the end of the day, it's a choice that you've got to make for yourself and your family, and I don't think that we need the federal government kind of throwing that down our throats as something that we've got to do because of where we work or, you know, how many employees we have and all that. So I think it'll play itself out, and I don't know if it's going to play out in his favor.
Yeah, I mean, I very much want the same outcome he wants. Right. I want as many people vaccinated as possible. It's just the coercion element, especially, I mean, you know, it's one thing to say that he doesn't have the authority, but there's also, look, the right to privacy that the Supreme Court recognizes. Right. People are going to say, do I not have the right to medical privacy? Mm-hmm. We have HIPAA laws and the rest, and now you're going to require me to violate my privacy of disclosure of health things in order to gain employment. There's a lot to unpack in the potential right. constitutional case.
One of the interesting things is, to my knowledge, is it's not necessarily a vaccine mandate, correct? You can either get tested every week, right?
There's an alternative there, right?
So I assume that's where the mandate really comes into effect, that they have some constitutionality. Is you can require from OSHA, labor Department of Labor Standards, to get them tested every week. The alternative is just to get vaccinated. So I'm really interested in the legal proceedings that are going to follow this, because obviously they're going to happen probably from half the states.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I figure pretty mm-hmm. much all of the Republican states are going to bring suit. It's got to go immediately to the Supreme Court, I would imagine. Mm-hmm. And then we'll get quick answers on yes or no of enforcement right now. And then there'll be a long, protracted process of figuring out. And we may not find out 2 or 3 years from now, you know, what yeah, the Supreme right. Court actually says about this, which is the way our system works. Well, that's it. Time always flies when we do this. I'm always amazed at how quickly a half hour can go. Walker Wilson, Executive Director for the Downtown Improvement Board, Drew Buchanan, small business owner. Gentlemen, thanks so much for joining
Thank
us
you.
This morning. Thanks for being here. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Andrew.
That's it for us.